All right, thank you so much to our presenters. Excellent. We do have about 15 minutes for Q&A, and as you can see, a few of your questions have been answered in the chat box by some of our representatives, which is great. But we'll go ahead and run through a few of the questions that have come in through the chat box. And so this is a question that came in, and I think directly speaks to what you were just speaking of, Greenwell, and Godfrey might also be able to answer. But it came in from Merrill Jordan. With regard to the lessons learned and capacity gaps, et cetera, is CADUP looking to create, or have you already created, a learning network or some other sort of kind of active learning process to share these lessons learned? Greenwell or Godfrey, can you speak to that?
This is Godfrey.
Okay.
I can start very quickly on that. So, as I said in my my presentation, once these technical networks are up and running, we at the African Union Commission will have coordinators of the different technical networks, and the role of those will be to link up with the different technical networks to coordinate the support that will be going to the member states. But because we know this is an evolving process, we are also providing for a lesson learning platform. Maybe twice or once a year, we'll be bringing these technical networks together to share the lessons that they have learned as they are providing support to the member states. So that is the learning platform that we are planning to create once the technical networks are up and running. Over to you, Greenwell.
Yeah, I don't think I have to add really much on that one, except also to say that, while we don't have like a database of lessons learned to date, but I think in the course of providing technical support to various countries across the African continent, we have always tried to kind of come up with some kind of reports. And in those reports, there will be some strengths of that were identified in the process of, say, giving that kind of technical support. So I'll give an example of the biannual review training processes for countries in West Africa, in Abidjan, as well as in Accra. There were some things that were highlighted there. And we, in order to ensure that we don't kind of commit the same, or at least come up with the same things, or at least to confront the same things and fail to address them ab initio or immediately, we would always exchange those notes with the trainers in East Africa, the trainers in Southern Africa region, to an extent that I'm able to say that the trainings that we heard with the about 11 or 12 member states in the Southern Africa region last week benefited a lot from the lessons that we gathered from East Africa as well as in the West Africa region. And the same spirit is going to inform us as we move to ECAS in Cameroon in next week, I think. And then the same if we move to when we move to Egypt in around June. So yes, the lessons learned question is very critical, and we're trying to do something about it. The hope is that as we forge into the future, we will be creating databases of some of these lessons, obviously conditional on specific to the kind of training that we're offering, and then we can try to synthesize them so that should we want to do the same in future, we shouldn't be reinventing the wheel. We should be starting from somewhere. Yeah, thanks.
Great, thank you so much. Godfrey, when you were speaking about nutrition, a lot of questions came in. I think naturally there is a lot of interest in nutrition and food security in terms of the participants who are on the line today. And so there were several questions that came in about linkages with nutrition and food security implementers, key players and programs, and wanting to understand what that landscape looks like a bit more. And also asking how much emphasis will country members be putting on nutrition-sensitive agriculture to address food security. Would you mind elaborating a bit on the nutrition element?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Julie. So first of all, there is a specific network on food security and nutrition. So that is bringing together different organizations that have expertise and experience in this area. Okay. Now, the way we are supporting member states to integrate nutrition issues into their investment plans is through the NAIPS revision I talked about, the revision or updating or formulating of new national agriculture investment plans. And so far, we have supported 7 countries with initiating the process of revising, updating their national investment plans. These include Malawi, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Senegal, and so on. So for each of these countries, they develop a roadmap which they are going to follow to up to the time they have a new and revised investment plan. The way we provide technical support is that for each of the thematic areas, including food security and nutrition, there will be experts that will be going to those national workshops to address issues of nutrition at country level. So that is the initial contact that we make when we're initiating the process at country level. But after that, following the roadmap that the country has developed itself, we are going to work with technical institutions, including FAO, IFPRI, and others, to provide specific analytical support to each of the countries that are revising their investment plan to make sure that they have addressed the nutritional challenges that they are facing. Now, what type of choices the country will make or the type of investments that will make to improve nutrition in the country will depend on what the needs are, okay? Whether or not they are going to be investing in processing to add value to consumable products, whether they are going to invest in crops that are nutrition sensitive will depend on the country. But what we are saying is that through the technical network, we shall be available to provide the type of support that the country requires to identify the strategies or investments that they need to address nutrition issues within their investment plan. What about you?
All right, thank you so much. Jeff, there was a question that came in that I think you are best posed to answer, and that came in from David Dobrowski, who asked or stated, donor landscapes are changing. What have been the commitments so far for funding the technical networks, and to what extent can these be said to be firm? I think he's just interested in a bit in how the changing donor landscapes are relating to the firmness of commitment to fund the CADIP.
Yeah. Yes, I want to, you know, first of all, you know, there is no particular, you know, separate pool of money that is set aside that guarantees, you know, financial support, you know, and in-depth financial support for the networks over a longer period of time. You know, there is experience with each of the different networks that are working on it that they do have a track record of being able to, you know, mobilize resources, you know, and the response to those, in fact, have been, you know, pretty robust. The development agency, the donors, you know, fundamentally have been very much, you know, interested and involved in this issue from the time of developing pillar institutions and recognize the importance of being able to, in fact, make available high-quality technical services to assist countries and regions in being able to move forward, and have been very concerned that this is one of the key issues that has been limiting the effective implementation, you know, of CADAP. So, you know, I can say that with, you know, confidence that the, you know, donor community, you know, is, you know, both interested, you know, and well, both concerned and interested in the development of the infrastructure to support, you know, the different networks. And so, and, you know, there has been strong support historically, you know, from the donors on this. And, you know, we, you know, believe that if there is a good quality, you know, effort coming forward, donors are going to be willing to have a look at it. But in terms of actually how firm are the commitments, you know, what we were going to be looking at are how firm are the proposals that are being prepared by the, you know, individual networks to actually ask for the strategic support consistent with what, you know, Godfrey has laid out.
Thank you very much, Jeff. We had a question come in that I think is best to be posed to Godfrey from Kopep Dabugat. And his question is, how will the support be provided to the member states? Are there statutory processes thought out, or will the technical support be discretionary? What is the strategy?
Yes, thank you, Kopep. There are criteria that we are following to support member states with the revision of the of their national investment plan. One such criterion is the demand that is coming from the countries themselves. So a member state that knows that its investment plan is about to expire and would like to revise or formulate a new one, and they know that they are required to implement the Malabo Declaration, they write to the African Union or to the Regional Economic Community or to the NEPAD agency and seek support of the African Union to revise or update their investment plan. Then our role is to mobilize this technical support that we are outlining. So at the moment, as we form or create these technical networks, the support is in different forms. But eventually, once the technical networks are all up and running, again, it will be based on demand from the member states. And once we believe that once we have supported 10 or 15 AU member states and they have quality and credible investment plans, there will be huge demand for the services of these technical networks, because each country will be wanting to also have a quality investment plan that they believe, if well implemented, can lead them to achieving the goals and targets of the Malabo Declaration. So the biggest principle is demand from the member states themselves. Over to you.
Thank you very much. And as you can see, we have put up a few polls before we wrap up the webinar. We still have 5 minutes or so for questions, but a few polls to help us gauge your experience with the webinar, some of your takeaways, and whether you plan to engage with the CADIP technical networks. So please take a moment to take these polls. And we also have we can answer a few more questions before we wrap up today. And so I wanted to check, Chris, were you able to call back in? I don't hear you, Chris, in case you are on mute. All right, it sounds like perhaps we have not had Chris able to rejoin. So I was going to ask him a question, but we'll hold that one, and we will do our best to answer any unanswered questions via the AgriLinks website. So when we send you the post-event email that will contain the recording and the transcript of this webinar, we'll also do our best to get all of your questions answered then as well. But in the meantime, a question came in from Solomon Kalema, who is with the African Agribusiness Incubators Network, and wanted to clarify that water for agricultural production remains a major challenge in Africa today. Which component within the networks will be addressing water?
Yes. So, as you know, can you hear me? As you know, the issue of addressing the effects of climate change, especially drought, are of paramount importance to very many of the AU member states, and especially the Horn of Africa and Southern Africa, which suffer from frequent drought. As you know, 2016 was one such a year where crops failed, animals died as a result of this. So the issue of addressing water availability for agriculture is key. And we believe the technical network on building resilience will be the one that will be providing that technical support to member states that are wanting to invest in technologies that have to deal with water conservation at farm level, but also looking at cost-effective technologies for irrigation, especially for small-scale farmers, because large-scale investment in big-scale irrigation systems can be challenging and expensive, but it's going to be a combination of different technologies, but cost effectiveness is going to be such a consideration. That would be the technical network that would be responsible for providing that knowledge to them. Back to you.
Maybe I can add the point there now that I am back.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, basically what I wanted to say in addition to what Godfrey was saying is that I think that under the new dispensation of technical networks, we have wide resources as opposed to previously when we were working only with what we called pillar institutions. So there is a lot of knowledge, it's a wide knowledge base for the various issues that any CADAP implementer would be looking to address. Yeah. So I have seen, for example, the various questions that have been posted here around agro-industry and the challenges to do with trade and so on. We have enough institutions within, I think, within the network to address those queries, but also it's the issue of working intra within among the networks, because we also have the network on trade and markets that works directly with regional economic communities. So I think that the added value of this new innovation is really the depth of the stakeholders we have brought to the table to provide support to the countries, the regional economic communities, and to the implementers generally. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we have time for just one final question that I'm going to send to Jeff. And this question came in from Simbarashe Sabanda, who said that there are many initiatives in Africa that are expecting member states to fund activities, but I have misgivings about this materializing. What advocacy or mobilization initiatives are planned to ensure member states contribute?
Yeah, so I, appreciate the comments and the concern. I do think that the technical networks, as has been laid out, by Godfrey and me, we'll need some core resources to be able to provide some support that, will not likely come from the countries and being able to, ensure that they have the infrastructure to be able to function, right? But what we do know is that, in fact, over the first 10 years of CADAP, in general, the countries increased their financing, support agriculture by 3% per, on average. That is, that means, that in fact, during that period of time, that translates into over $300 million per country that they did come up with resources. So in terms of looking for something that countries are delivering on and saying they're, they're spending money on, this is one of the areas that there is solid evidence that they are spending their resources to advance, and that they and there's no question that countries are actually investing in improving the quality of their decision making and securing technical assistance to do that. The infrastructure that is being put on the table with regard to the technical networks is really helping to actually improve the efficiency of that, improve some of the matchmaking between what the country needs are and what some of the agencies, have to offer, with the countries. I think that, I don't know that that, provides it, specific enough, but, I don't know of any single country that, hasn't actually invested in improving, the knowledge base that they're making, whether it is on irrigation or whether it is on market access or whether it is, on negotiating, policies on water between countries. They are spending their own money, to actually better understand, what the options are, for them.
Yeah. Maybe I can add a perspective to that issue of wanting countries to fund all these initiatives. And basically the perspective would be that actually there are a lot of resources also in country that are usually not used because there are no good plans, because there's not good organization. So I think, these initiatives, the organization of CADAP, the technical networks and so on, will help to actually unlock some of those resources that are not used or are misused to ensure they are used more appropriately on an agenda that is agreed to at the continental and national level. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, we've come up on the end of our allotted time for our webinar, and I don't want to keep anyone past our time, but I want to extend a sincere thank you to our four presenters, Godfrey, Jeff, Chris, and Greenwell, for your very informative presentations. And also an even bigger thank you to our participants. Thank you for your excellent questions, conversation in the chat box, and of course for supporting AgriLinks webinars. One more time, I'll let you know that we did record this. We're going to send you the transcript, which can be a very useful read if you want to comb back over any particular portion of the webinar. And of course, the slides are currently available on the event page on AgriLinks for this webinar. And we'll make sure that you have an email with all of these resources within the next 2 weeks. So thank you very much for your participation in today's webinar. We're really thrilled to have you online. And we'll see you at future AgriLinks and Bureau for Food Security events. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of the day.